I'd like you to open to the book of Psalms this morning. We will begin in the book of Psalms, looking at Psalm 127 and Psalm 128, and then in time we'll end up in the New Testament in the book of Ephesians. Psalm 127 begins with a very, very important truth and declaration. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Or even in some translations, he gives to beloved while they sleep, in their sleep. Three times we see that word vain. The psalmist says, it is vanity to embark upon goals and projects and responsibilities without the Lord as your foundation. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. It's a sober reminder for us as parents. Unless the Lord builds our house, or unless we build our house on the foundation of the Lord, we are building in vain. What a good reminder for us this morning that our families need to be founded on the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our families need to revolve around Him and His Word. Charles Spurgeon was a famous Baptist pastor from previous generations. God used him in a mighty way and continues to use him today through his writings and through the sermons that were preserved for us. He called Christian parents to remember a simple but often forgotten truth, and that is this, that parents are responsible to see that their children are taught the Word of God. It's ultimately where the responsibility lies. We may delegate some of our authority to others to carry out the task. And if we understand the workings of the church, we should. We should understand the role of the life of the church in the discipleship of our children. It is an arrogant Christian parent who thinks that he or she can parent solely by himself without the church. So we can delegate, and we should delegate some of our authority to carry out the task. But we can never delegate our responsibility or our accountability. That we may never delegate. Because the responsibility lies upon our shoulders and the accountability before God lies upon our shoulders. Those two remain. In his daily devotional, morning and evening, Spurgeon wrote this, quote, "The heathen are to be sought by all means," that is, the unsaved. "They are to be sought by all means, and the highways and hedges are to be searched. But home has a prior claim. And woe unto those who reverse the order of the Lord's arrangements. To teach our children is a personal duty. We cannot delegate it to Sunday school teachers or other friendly aides. These can assist us, yes, but cannot deliver us from the sacred obligation. Proxies and sponsors are wicked devices in this case. Mothers and fathers must, like Abraham, command their households in the fear of God, and talk with their offspring concerning the wondrous works of the Most High. Parental teaching is a natural duty. Who's so fit to look to the child's well-being as those who are the authors of his actual being? To neglect the instruction of our offspring is worse than brutish. Family religion, he says, is necessary for the nation, for the family itself, and for the church of God. By 1,000 plots, popery is covertly advancing in our land, and one of the most effectual means for resisting its inroads is left almost neglected, namely, the instruction of children in the faith. Would that parents would awaken to a sense of the importance of this matter. And that is what God wants to do for us this morning, is to awaken us to the sense of this matter, the weight of the responsibility that we have as parents. It is the duties in the Christian family that we need to think about this morning. First, the duties of the parents, and then the duties of the children. Children, you're here this morning. I need you to listen very closely. I will talk to you at certain times, and I'll ask you to look directly at me when I do. Well, let's think about your parents first, though, okay? What are the duties to parents, or the duties of parents to their children? Let's look at Psalms 127 and 128. We find three duties in these two psalms. First, children are gifts to be received. So the duty of the parent is to receive the gift. Not to reject the gift, but to receive the gift from the Lord. Verse 3, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. So children are a gift, a heritage, or an inheritance. Regardless of the word that you choose, or the word that is in your translation, the Hebrew word means all of them. The point is the same, that children come from God as a blessing and a living inheritance. Isn't that wonderful? Children come to us from God. Gifts from God. They are a blessing, not a curse, as sometimes the world would seek to convince us. They are a living inheritance. When Esau and Jacob were reunited, Esau saw the women and the children and asked, "Who are these with you?" And Jacob answered, "They are the children God has graciously given your servant." Later, Jacob asked his son Joseph the same question, to which Joseph replied, "They are the sons God has given to me." Isaiah 8, verse 18, the prophet Isaiah says, "Here am I, and the children the Lord has given me." The author of Psalm 113 glorifies God with these words. He makes the barren woman abide in the house as a joyful mother of children. Praise the Lord. My wife and I have claimed that verse for many infertile couples over the years, a couple decades of ministry, and there are literally dozens of children now in this world because of asking God to fulfill that promise, to make the barren woman abide as the joyful mother of children. Praise the Lord. So children are to be received from God. Now, the psalmist goes on and gives two simple illustrations that speak of the task of parenting. So we see also that children are like arrows. Children are like arrows. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. Now perhaps the writer of this psalm likens children to arrows for two reasons. First, they must be carefully crafted. Children are like arrows in that they must be carefully crafted. In Old Testament days, archers did not drive to the local sporting goods stores to buy arrows. They were already perfectly manufactured. Instead, they went out into the woods and they found a branch that they thought would be suitable, and they whittled it and shaped it for the intended purpose. The intended purpose was eventually to shoot that arrow out of the quiver. What a beautiful illustration that is for us as parents. Children are like arrows. They need to be carefully crafted and developed with the goal, not that they'll stay with us forever, but no, we will shoot them out of the quiver. They'll be released from the bow to do what God has created them to do. So the character of children needs to be carefully shaped by their parents. But the power that parents have over children, their children, that is the authority that they have from God over their children, has to be used for their children's ultimate good. And so the New Testament exhortation that really corresponds so well here is Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. As fathers, we are not to irritate our children to the point of resentment, but we are to diligently train them. We're to raise them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. The word discipline includes education and training and correction to an established standard. It's not only a corrective word. Sometimes we think of that word discipline as being only corrective, but it's not. It involves much more. It involves training and education and correction. So if our goal is to launch our arrows forth from our homes to be responsible, godly adults, then we need to train them with that goal in mind, all the while trusting that ultimately it's the Lord's work in our children's hearts. We strive to be faithful, to carry out our responsibilities before the Lord, but in the end, our children will grow up to be adults who will be accountable to God themselves. And so it is a heavy weight that we carry on our shoulders as parents, but we need to be careful that we don't make the weight heavier than even God makes it, because when our children get old and they begin to make decisions on their own, they are accountable to God for those decisions. So may the Lord give us grace and faithfulness to do our part that he has called us to do. So they must be carefully crafted, but also they must be purposely directed. We need to instill God-fearing character into our children, but more than that, we need to give them direction. We need to give them correction from the Word of God. Why is that? Well, because our children are sinners like we are. You know, when we brought those adorable little bundles home from the hospital to be thoroughly theologically correct, we should have looked at them and said, "You beautiful, precious little sinner." Now, we don't say that for obvious reasons. But that recognition needs to be understood by us as parents, and usually it doesn't take too long for that to become reality. Anyway, but that's the reality. Our children's hearts, Scripture says, are filled with sin. Why? Because long before they were our descendants, they're descendants of Adam. And so that sin nature is a part of them. And children left to themselves do not naturally choose God's ways. They need to be directed toward Christ, toward his salvation, toward a life of godliness. Ephesians 6:4, Paul uses that word instruction, the discipline and instruction of the Lord. That word can also mean admonition. In some translations, that's how we read it. And it refers to training by the word of encouragement. So it's talking about verbal training. The word of encouragement to in the ways of the Lord and to follow the Lord. The purpose of admonition is to warn and to correct in order to instill a proper fear of God in the hearts of our children. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So as we love and nurture and instruct our children, we are seeking to instill within them the fear of the Lord. because it is the fear of the Lord that ultimately then will be the wisdom, the compass that they need for the rest of their lives. There are times when verbal admonition is not sufficient to correct a child's foolishness. And there are other forms of reproof that are necessary to bring the will of the child into submission to the parents. Sociologists in our world today and parenting experts in society do not believe that there is a place in the home for this kind of corrective discipline called spanking, but the scriptures are filled with that principle as being a necessary part of parenting. And if you need help understanding that and understanding the proper use of spanking, I encourage you to pick up a little book that my wife and I wrote a few years back called Help, My Toddler Rules the House. All of us as parents have said that on occasion. But it's not supposed to be that way. So God has given us His Word to show us how to discipline our children. So when biblical instruction and correction are carried out in the atmosphere of a godly example, they will yield blessed results. Proverbs 20, verse 7 says, "A righteous man who walks in his integrity, how blessed are his sons after him." So as we're speaking about the responsibilities of parents to teach and train and discipline their children, it's also in the atmosphere of the example that we are striving to lay before them. We want to be able to honestly say to our children that you should do not only as I say, but do as I do. That's hard, isn't it? Really hard. And that's where forgiveness and grace and honesty and humility come into the picture. If as a parent you do not find yourself fairly regularly asking for your children's forgiveness, then you need to. Unless you just happen to be the perfect parent. Because we need to be setting an example for our children to follow. So children are like arrows. They need to be carefully crafted and purposely directed. But Psalm 128 goes on with another illustration. The children are like plants. Children are like plants. Look at verse 1 of Psalm 128. "Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you." So there's blessing that results from fearing the Lord, walking in his ways. Your wife, verse 3, will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. So the psalmist here likens children to plants. Probably for at least three reasons. First, they need nourishment. Children need nourishment. They are like tender sprouts and they need to be nourished under the careful care of the parents who are like gardeners in the family garden. And children, when cared for and loved and cared for in a God-glorifying way, they blossom. They blossom when their parents are obedient to the Lord and to His commands to nourish them. Tender care is what the phrase "bring them up" means in Ephesians 6:4, to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. That phrase, "bring them up," is a very tender phrase. Tender care. So as parents, we're obligated before God to carefully exercise the disciplinary function of love in our homes so that the fear of the Lord is instilled in our children's hearts and they then follow Him. Secondly, they need cultivation. They need cultivation, or we might say they need weeding. Like every garden needs weeding, so our children, their hearts and their lives need weeding. like young plants. Children are prone to be overtaken by weeds. The seeds of sin and foolishness so often take root and manifest in foolish ways. And so, parents, we need to be cultivating wisdom in our children's hearts by means of correction. Proverbs 22:15, very important to remember. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline will remove it far from him. So our children being born as descendants of Adam with a sin nature, there is foolishness that is bound in their hearts. And Solomon says it is the rod of discipline that will remove that foolishness from their hearts. That's why in our home, the tool that we use for spanking, we call the wisdom paddle. Because it is through the exercise of that paddle, we are striving to drive foolishness out and impart wisdom. That's God's method. So the rod of discipline is the God-ordained means of removing foolishness from our children's hearts so that they might be ready to receive His wisdom. By the way, it's a mark of true love. It follows the pattern of God's love toward us, His children. Hebrews 12 says, "For the Lord disciplines the one He loves and chastises every son whom He receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons." So when we as parents go astray from the ways of the Lord, God disciplines us. That's not a mark of his anger and hatred toward us. That is a mark of his intense love for us. Because he knows the end result of sin. He knows where the road of sin will take us. And so he intervenes with his discipline and he painfully corrects us. Sometimes I'll say to my kids, if daddy doesn't spank you, then God will spank daddy. And they'll say, how does he do that? That's a really hard question to answer. But God does have his ways, right? Correcting us as parents. He does it because he loves us. So true biblical love produces the fruit of discipline. The parent who coddles his child and fears him or her more than he fears God actually loves himself. Did you hear that? Because we live in a child-centered world. Many, many families in this world are being raised as child-centered homes. And the parent who coddles and fears his child more than he fears God does not really love his child, he loves himself. He loves his convenience. It's just convenient to not discipline our children, right? I mean, children never disobey at convenient times. Or that parent loves being loved by the child more than he loves God. These are really important things for us to think about. So, children need cultivation. They also need pruning. They need pruning. John 15, 1 and 2, I love this. "I'm the true vine," Jesus says, "and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit." So corrective discipline is a demonstration of God's commitment to us. He prunes us so that we will bear more fruit. He removes the dead wood and the diseased branches from our lives and from our hearts by the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. Why? Because He is committed to making us like Christ. He is committed to crafting us as arrows and shooting us toward the goal, which is to be like Jesus. So in the same way, we as parents need to be pruning our children's hearts and minds and lives. It's part of the discipline that God expects of us. Again, parents who truly love their children will discipline them. Proverbs 13:24, very important principle. He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently. So Solomon says that the parent who spares the rod actually hates the son, actually hates his child. He's not committed to doing what is best for the child. But he who loves him disciplines him diligently. In his book, Opening Up Proverbs, my friend Jim Neuheiser is correct when he writes, neglect of discipline is among the worst forms of child abuse. Passive child abuse, we might call it. To neglect to discipline our children is not for their good. It's not a demonstration of love. It's a demonstration of selfishness and most often laziness. So at the risk of repeating myself too many times, let me say it one more time. If we do not discipline our children, then we do not love them. That is a biblical truth. But when we nourish them and weed them and prune them, then our family garden becomes something that is blessed by God. It's a pleasant place where there are fruitful plants around our table. Again, as I said before, all of this being done by faith, trusting that it's God who produces the results. There are no magical formulas for parenting. I am weary of all the Christian parenting books that basically, when you boil it all down, say, if you just do A and throw in B, you'll get C. And it doesn't work that way. There are general principles, yes. But those general principles don't always result in the exact same results in each child. Why? Because each of those children is his or her own individual moral agent before God, with a will of their own that God is only powerful enough to eventually deal with, to mold, to shape, to grab hold of. So please, parents, let's remember that. We do all we can to be faithful to God, but it's by faith that we do these things, trusting that in the end, it is His work. So that's the duties of parents to their children. Let's look now to Ephesians. And so children, open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, because I want to show you some verses that were written directly to you. I don't know if you knew this, but when the Holy Spirit had the Apostle Paul write the book of Ephesians, He had him write three verses directly to you. Ephesians 6:1-3, the duties of children to their parents. It says, children, okay, so listen, do I have your eyes up here? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. God's instructions to you, children, are so clear and they're simple. There's only two. Parents have like millions of things we have to think about. But children, two things for you to think about. God expects you to obey your parents, and God expects you to honor your parents. Everything in your little world right now revolves around those two responsibilities. That's what God expects of you. So first, children must listen and obey. You can't obey if you don't listen, right? And so it's so important for us to teach our children to listen. It's a discipline that needs to be instilled within them. And so one of the things that we've done when our children are young is we say, give me your eyes, I need your eyes. When we give instruction to them, I need your eyes. Why? Because then I know we have contact. We have eye contact, and therefore I can be sure that they are hearing me. Because if I'm not sure they heard me, it's going to be really difficult then to discipline them to a standard I'm not sure they understood. Okay? So listen and obey. Children, that's your responsibility. You need to listen to your mom and dad. When they speak to you, look at them. Don't run the other direction. Stop. If you're running through the backyard, stop. Turn around, look, and listen. Why? So that you can obey. That you can follow what your mom and dad say. Colossians 3:20 says, children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. So, children, when you obey your parents, the Bible says that is very pleasing to the Lord. It is well-pleasing to God. Proverbs 1:8, hear, my son, your father's instruction. Forsake not your mother's teaching. Over and over, the scriptures say to children, listen. Listen and obey. And there are many reasons. There are reasons to listen and obey, and there are three of them that I want to mention this morning. First, because it will guide and protect you. It will guide you and protect you. If you learn to listen and obey your parents now while you're young, Proverbs 6:20 says, keep your father's commandment, my son, and forsake not your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart always. Tie them around your neck when you walk. They will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk with you. Listen to your parents and obey them. It will guide you. It will protect you. You might think as you grow older that you know better than your parents, but that really isn't the case. Your parents know the dangers that are out there, and they're trying to protect you. Obedience will also lead to a blessed life. It will lead to a blessed life. Verse 2 says, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. Obedience and honor together lead to a blessed life. Proverbs 3 says, my son, do not forget my teaching. Let your heart keep my commandments, for length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. So you learn to listen and obey your parents, you will be blessed by God. Your life will be blessed. Another reason to listen and obey is because it will help you obey God. Parents, we teach our children to listen and obey because we want to help them obey God. Children, you should listen and obey your parents because it will help you to listen to God later on in your life. It will help you learn to submit to His teachings, and His word, and His authority. Proverbs 2 talks about this. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments within you, making your ear attentive, that is, listening to wisdom, and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. So Solomon is saying, as you listen to your parents and learn to obey them, then you will grow in fearing the Lord. It will help you listen to God later on when you grow up. So children, that's your first responsibility before God, to obey, to listen and obey. There's a second one there in Ephesians 6. Children must respect and honor. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. And here's the promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. This is the first commandment in the Bible given with a promise. And it's given to children. That's pretty special, isn't it, kids? Honor your father and mother. respect them, honor them. Don't talk down to them. Don't speak rudely to them. Be respectful. Why? Because disrespect is shameful, Scripture says. Exodus 21:15, and he who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. That's really serious, kids. Don't ever hit your mom and dad. Never. Don't ever hit them. That's a sign of disrespect to your parents. He who assaults his father and drives his mother away is a shameful and disgraceful son, Proverbs 19 says. Secondly, disrespect leads to rebellion. Disrespect in the heart occurs before rebellious living. Proverbs 30, verse 11 says, there are those who curse their fathers and do not bless their mothers. And then it goes on to talk about all the things that happen as a result of that. There are those who are clean in their own eyes, but they're not washed of their filth. How lofty are their eyes! How prideful they are. Their teeth are like swords, their fangs, or their teeth are like swords whose fangs are knives. Disrespect leads to rebellion. And that's why, parents, we need to discipline our kids not just for their actions, but also their attitudes. Because all actions begin with attitudes of the heart. And if we're only spending our time correcting our kids' actions, we're never going to get to the heart. It's the attitude behind the actions that we need to be addressing. Jesus said, the good man out of the treasure of his heart brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. So biblical parenting recognizes that the actions are the fruit of heart attitudes. So we need to be dealing with the heart attitudes of our kids. And then thirdly, disrespect brings punishment from God. This is a really painful one. Children, listen to this. He who curses his father or his mother, his lamp will go out in time of darkness. Proverbs 20, verse 20. Don't ever curse your mom or dad. God takes that very seriously. And here's another verse that is kind of a scary picture. It's Proverbs 30, verse 17. And I don't read it to you kids to scare you, but you need to listen to this. The eye that mocks a father and scorns a mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out, and the young eagles will eat it. That's pretty gross, isn't it, kids? You know, that's God's word. And the point of it is, that's serious. It's really serious when you disrespect your mom and dad. When you roll your eyes at them and don't listen to them, that's serious in God's eyes. It's disrespectful. So children, those are your responsibilities. Those three verses are written directly to you. Children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. That's what your responsibility is now, while you're young. Your responsibility before God. There's a story in the Old Testament that is a tragic example of the principles that we've looked at this morning from Psalms 127 and 28 and from Ephesians 6. You may remember it's the history of Eli's family, Eli the priest. And it remains for us in Scripture as an example of what happens when parents respect their children too much. When they respect and love their children more than they love God. It's role reversal of a very embarrassing kind. And the consequences for Eli's family are deadly. It says in 1 Samuel 2 that God brought a warning to Eli by the mouth of a prophet, a man of God, who warned him that God was going to chasten him And his hand was going to fall upon the priest and his sons because Eli honored his sons above God. That's what it says in 1 Samuel 2:29. And so as a result of that, the strength of his priesthood would be broken, and both of his sons, Hophni and Phinehas, would die tragically on the very same day. That was prophesied. And the reason was because Eli honored his sons above God. It may have only been a few days later that Samuel, Eli's young servant, was woken up by God during the night, and the voice of God said to him, "I have told Eli that I'm about to judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knew, because his sons brought a curse on themselves, and listen, he did not rebuke them." His sons were responsible for their actions, don't get me wrong, but Eli was responsible for not rebuking his sons. It was not long after that that there was a battle. Israel went into battle against the Philistines, and it was a total loss. 30,000 soldiers died on the same day. The Ark of the Covenant was stolen, and Hophni and Phinehas died. They died on the very same day, exactly as what was prophesied. It was a tragic end. And that tragedy is preserved in Scripture for us. It's a warning to us as parents. Love our children, nurture them, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, but do not fear your children more than you fear God. Do not love your children more than you love God. Do not live for their love. Live because of God's love that you've already received in Christ. So parents, some sober duties that we have, right? Scripture lays out for us. But we carry them out in the strength and the grace of the Lord by faith, trusting that in the end it's His work. It's His work on our children's hearts. And children, I hope you listened well this morning, because God spoke directly to you from His Word. You need to listen and obey your parents. And you need to respect and honor them. And that, God says, is the first commandment with a promise. God promises to give you a blessed life. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning for reminding us of what may appear to be just very simple instruction and principles from your word. But so often we forget, Lord. We forget. As parents, we forget what our responsibility is. We forget that our faith and trust is in you to use our imperfect parenting to accomplish your will in the lives of our children. We as parents ourselves are still in process of growing and becoming like Christ. None of us here has arrived. None of us here could ever stand before others and say, "I am the perfect parent." No parent exists in this world. But you, Lord, you are the perfect Father. You are our Heavenly Father. You love us and care for us. You discipline us and correct us when we need it. Help that to be our model, Lord, for how we parent our kids. Lord, I pray for the children of Cornerstone. Father, I ask that you would give them pliable hearts. They will learn these disciplines that your word has spoken to them about today, that they will learn to listen and obey their parents, and that they will respect and honor them always. And by doing so, they will live lives that are richly blessed by you. Father, lead them to yourself at an early age. Keep them from wandering into deep paths of sin that only disappoint and grieve. Sin has a way of promising things it never delivers. Lord, for all of us here today, keep driving us back to Christ. Keep driving us back to the cross. Keep driving us back to the only one who matters. So, Lord, may you be glorified in and through our lives. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.